good advice. Like Don says, if you have to hunker down, do it this week. I don't think your bosses will mind. We just give him a permission slip. Signed, Don Kleppen, WGN Radio.
Heck yeah. It's a catch-all.
All right, speaking of staying warm, I am eating some of the best food I have ever eaten in my entire life. A kosher guha is from Haka Baka, which is in Lincoln Park. If you've never been there, they specialize in making Indian kati rolls, but you have a new location in the West Loop. And I'm telling you, this is some of the most delicious, and this will warm your body for sure, because it's got a little spice to it. But tell us a little bit about Haka Baka.
Yeah, so Haka Baka has been in Lincoln Park for 3 years, and in October, we actually opened our second location in West Loop. And we're still ironing out some of the kinks with the West Loop location, but we're planning a grand opening towards the end of February, early March. And so far, the reception has been great at the new location.
You're right off the DePaul campus. You're off of Racine and Fullerton, and I always see lines forming. That's got to make you feel good when people are forming lines outside to get in and have a kati roll.
Well, typically, winters are a little slow for most restaurants.
Yeah.
But summer, we get really busy, and especially between March and May. Things get really busy for us.
Tell me a little bit about your culinary journey back to your school days in India.
Right. So when I was in India, I had to do a lot of cooking. However, having a culinary profession was not on my radar, so to speak. And then I came to the United States, had a job as an economist for about 10 years. I was in economic consulting. Then one fine day, I, woke up and, told my wife, who needs a savings account? Let's
She's still your wife, right?
Yeah, she's okay, still my wife. I mean, surprisingly, she's still my wife.
Right, right. But that's a big decision. You know, you're in your career, you're successful at it, and you wanted to open a restaurant.
Yes. And one of the main reasons was, entrepreneurship is such a multifaceted aspect of life in general, and you learn so many new things. So, I mean, it gives you a different worldview altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the big thing for me, that working for somebody, it's the same thing when I come and hear some of the quote unquote criticisms or constructive criticisms from customers,
mm-hmm.
and they'll come and give us suggestions. And I was like, and I keep thinking about, well, there's so many facets that you just haven't thought of.
Right.
It's like if someone comes and tells me, oh, yeah, you should buy real estate in Mars. I mean, that's a great idea. And I'm sure at some point in time it's going to be great. But you haven't given me a path of execution. That's the most important thing. And you don't see that until you are an entrepreneur.
It's true. I think that's very true. And it's good advice, too, for young entrepreneurs out there. And you're very successful. You have one of the most famous Indian restaurants in Chicago, Haka Baka. What I find it really neat is that I was just joking with you and said, is she still your wife? Because that's a big decision. But your wife was instrumental. And I think even when you tell the story of how you reconnected with your wife, where you were and how she probably led to your deciding to open the restaurant.
Right. So my wife and I were college sweethearts. We met in the year 2000. And, I mean, it's remarkable in and of itself that after 18 years, she still wants to stay married to me. But
that's not true. No, you have a wonderful marriage.
So, from 2000 to 2003, we dated, and then I moved to the United States. And then, incidentally, at that point, she basically said that, my career and my life is here in India. I don't think this will work out. So we kind of called it quits, and we were in touch, but just friends.
Yeah.
Till about 2009, and then in 2009, things stabilized for me as far as work was concerned, as far as my immigration status was concerned,
yeah.
And all that. And at that point, I went and proposed marriage, and then she. So it's like, well, you
so
know.
You went back to India.
Yes, I did.
To Kolkata.
Yes, to actually Mumbai.
Mumbai.
She
okay.
was in Mumbai.
Okay, so she's in Mumbai.
Yeah.
So you fly back there. You knew what you wanted to do.
Yes.
Okay.
And I went back there, and then I met her, and we talked about this, and she's like, well, I'm not sure if USA would be the best place for me because I've just. Most immigrants who come here, their worldview of the United States is really defined by the movies and the
of course.
Culture.
Sure.
So she's thinking, well, I don't know. I mean, I've seen all these soap operas and TV shows, and if that's what life is like, maybe I won't like USA. So I was like, why don't you just come see me, meet my family, and then if you don't like it, you don't like it. If you like it, then, you know, maybe we can have another conversation.
Okay. So now, did you at this point have to talk to her family?
Not yet.
Okay.
So, and at that point, when she came to the United States, I tried to make this the most memorable trip she's ever had.
Right. So I took her. So what did you do? What were some of the things that you thought you said she has to know the great things about America?
So I actually took her to New York City, obviously Times Square. Everyone has a selfie there.
Of course. Good. That's a good call.
So New York City, then we went to Washington, D.C., seat of power, obviously.
Nice.
And then Niagara Falls. And then obviously within Chicago.
Yeah.
We just took her to the nicest places. And I just kind of wanted to give her a layout of what my life is like here.
Yeah.
And then I was actually working at Cincinnati at the time.
Okay.
So I took her to Cincinnati as well. And so she got to see the huge New York City. She got to see a smaller city. And then she got to see not necessarily a mid-sized city, but a fairly popular but not the biggest city, which is Chicago.
Right, right. And that was her favorite.
Yes. And okay. She kind of got flavors of all of that. And then when she went back, I called her up and I was like, so what did you think? Do you think that this is something that, you know, you can see some place where you can see yourself in? And she was like, yeah.
She said, yeah.
So I was like,
and then you knew.
So that's when I knew. So unfortunately, there was no major romantic proposal. It was more like a negotiation.
Of course. That's good, though. That's sort of romantic, too, because when she came here, you took her everywhere. I mean, right. You probably took her on more, you know, to more places than many people have been in their lifetime.
Oh, well, I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but I definitely think that but it was kind of planned. I wanted to show America with its best foot forward. And I think that obviously that goal was met. And then we got married in 2011.
And you've been married ever since.
Happily married ever since.
So when you turned to her and said, I want to open up my own restaurant, she gave the blessing.
So she's very practical.
Yes.
She has to be. And I'm a risk taker.
Okay.
So she was like, well, let's think this through. What's the best option? And then she asked me, like, aren't you happy at your job? Because, you know, I had a very well-paying job. And I was like, well, you know, it's not that I'm not happy. I really liked the people I worked with. I really liked the job.
Right.
But at the same time, I felt like I don't see myself doing that all the way through 60, because I met so many people who are very successful in what they do, but they always had that one thing that, oh, you know, I was so good at baseball, and if I just continued playing, maybe I might have been a major league baseball player. But so what I realized that was that my fear of regret was a lot more than my fear of failure. So,
and I think that is a wonderful motto to have, too. Because you could always, you know, years down the road, if you think, oh, I really missed being an economist, you could go back to it. But this was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime.
Yes.
And you took a leap of faith.
Right. My wife and I, my wife's name is Shweta. Shweta and I sat down and we discussed this. And we looked at the pros and cons. And we realized that we're relatively young. So even if we lose all the money that we invest in this, there's still adequate time to make it up. However, we also realized that if this doesn't work, there might be some of the things that we've wanted to do, like buying a home and things like that, that may not be an immediate reality. It might happen a couple of years down the line. But we knew what we were getting into. We knew it was a lifestyle change, and we were fully equipped to handle that. And I don't think I would have thought things through as much unless it was for her. And I think that's the biggest problem, because I speak to new entrepreneurs,
mm-hmm.
Or would-be entrepreneurs at least 2 to 3 times a month. And everyone cannot understand the lifestyle changes that are...
It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is money, because most people who want to do entrepreneurship are doing this because they've saved up enough money in their current jobs and they want to invest it somehow. And I keep telling them that lifestyle change is the biggest thing. Like, you know, my wife and I, before when we were both working, she still has a day job, by the way, but when we were both working, the conversations were, okay, which part of the world are we flying to now? There's Thanksgiving coming.
Of course, right.
from that, it went to when in our first year, do we have enough money to order Chinese takeout? You know?
Yeah, it's hard. They say you have to give it a couple of years. Did you think that it would turn into one of the most successful Indian restaurants in Chicago?
Well, I don't think we're still there yet. There's still
it's pretty good, though. You got when we said you were showing up tonight, you had our own line out the door waiting for you. So,
well, again, thank you so much. I mean, it means a lot when hearing that. But I think that we still got a little bit some ways to go, and you know, with every new location that we open, it's so much of learning happens.
Yeah,
and I think that's the beauty of starting your own business, that you're never stagnating. If you're stagnating as an entrepreneur, there's something terribly, terribly wrong with the way you're doing things.
I like the fact that you pay it forward too, and talking to young entrepreneurs so they can learn from your successes and what you've done right.
Right. Well, I mean, I definitely like to. So the biggest pet peeve that I have with the internet is that all you get to hear are unicorn stories.
Right.
Oh, you know, I mean, the guy who started Uber, he went from working in a basement to $5 billion company in 5 years. That happens so few and far
between. It's very rare, yes.
The normal entrepreneurship challenges is what I'm facing, what all, you know, and I have a big community of entrepreneurs. We all talk to each other, and everyone's going through the exact same thing. You forget to have, you know, breakfast, lunch, and then dinner, and then when you're in bed, you're like, oh my God, it's like 3 a.m. and I forgot to eat all day.
Right. I wish I had that problem, Kaushik, but...
But, and then, you know, sometimes you forget to do things. Sometimes you don't have money. Sometimes you can't really do what you want. If you have a decent job, like I remember when I was working 10 years, there was really nothing that I couldn't really do.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to go back to India because of time. Initially, it was money. Then it was time. And I haven't been back since 2013. And those are sacrifices that you make, but no one talks about those on the internet. Everyone's talking about how great their life is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, sure, they made some sacrifices, but no one tells you the extent. And I know so many people who went down the entrepreneur route, but the crazy hours, like an average entrepreneur, especially in the first 5 years, they're typically working about 100 to 120 hours a week.
There's
168 hours.
It's basically
hours.
You're working and you don't sleep.
Exactly.
Ever. We're talking to Kaushik Guha, the owner of Haka Baka Indian Kati Rolls. Tell us a few, I want to talk about the Kati Rolls too. Tell us what the Kati Rolls are and some of your specialties at Haka Baka.
So the way I'd like to put a Kati Roll is that if a burrito were to go to India, it would be a Kati roll. So it's about a 9 to 10 inch handmade pan-seared flatbread. We coat that with an egg. We add your choice of protein. So the most popular is chicken tikka.
What I have tonight,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's what you're
eating. It's spicy, but it's not overwhelmingly spicy. It's a perfect kick, I think.
Well, I mean, that was the recipe design. So we worked really hard to get it to that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you add chicken tikka, and then you add your onions, cucumbers, cilantro, and jalapenos if you want. If you don't want the jalapenos, we'll skip the jalapenos.
Okay.
And then we add 4 house-made chutneys, a sweet tamarind, a tangy cilantro, a savory yogurt, and a spicy chili to that.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's a perfect blend because the yogurt then counterbalances the chili.
Yes. Well, actually, the sweet tamarind counterbalances the chili.
Ah, okay.
So the 4 sauces are designed to touch the 4 major flavor quadrants. So you have sweet, tangy, spicy, and savory.
That's perfect. And these are all your recipes?
Yes, these are all my recipes.
Are these recipes that were passed down or some you came up with too?
Well, I mean, not really. So the main recipes originally, so since growing up in India, these are very popular sauces that everybody uses all across the board in India. But then I had to modify the recipes to standardize the process.
Okay.
Because, you know, the simplest chicken curry takes 7 different spices. And it's very, very cumbersome to be able to do that repeatedly in the same way, in the same format.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me and my wife about 2 years to come up with recipes that have standard formats. Because, you know, going back to what I was saying earlier, the path of execution is very, very important.
Yeah.
Sure, you want to open a restaurant, but then you have to ensure that it's consistent.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, we had to figure out what's the best way to figure out to standardize this process. So what we did was we spoke to various contract manufacturers. So we have portion control dry ingredients, portion control wet ingredients, All my guys have to do is make sure that they take the dry and the wet and they mix it with the chicken. So that's how we ensure, you know, a similar product every single time, the identical product every single time, no matter which day of the year. It could be minus 45 outside.
Right, which it will be.
Yes. And you're going to get the same nice chicken tikka every single time at our restaurant.
Well, I think it's perfectly executed. It's accurate. It's consistent. And just the flavors just explode in your mouth. It's wonderful. Well,
thank you so much. That means a lot.
Congratulations on your success. You have two locations. Tell us where both locations are.
So our first location is in Lincoln Park. It's on the corner of Racine and Fullerton. Our second location is in the West Loop. It's on the corner of Morgan and Lake.
Morgan and Lake. So it's 1002 West Lake Street, Hakabaka. Where'd you get the name? I love that name.
Well, we tried to come up with a proper Indian name, but then we did a lot of focus groups, and then using terms like India or Bombay were so generic.
Yeah.
We wanted it to pop and stand out. And we realized that most people in America have a penchant for rhyming words.
Ah, okay. You did do your research.
So that's why the name kind of stuck.
I love it. It's hakabakarolls.com, Twitter and Instagram at hakabakarolls. Koshik Guha, best of luck to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. And stay warm.
Yes, thank you. You too.
More after this, 720 WGN.